Good morning, church. It's exciting for us to be here. This is an amazing church. This is an amazing community. And you have an amazing pastor and mama. They've been a blessing to us. You must be proud of them. Praise the Lord. It's exciting for us to be here. I traveled with Irene. Irene, do you mind standing up so that they see how you look like? And I have some friends of mine, Barack and his wife. They're from Winnipeg. But they are from Africa. Yes, I think they're also as cold as we are. Praise the Lord. I want to say a very big thank you for the opportunity that we have got to be able to be here and share the Word of God with you. And a very, very, very powerful worship service. I just want to commend you as a church for raising young men and women. It's exciting for me to come to this country and see young people leading worship. It's a rare occasion. I've traveled a bit, and I always find older people. So when I see young people, I see a new generation of people who are going to change the world. So young people, keep it up. And we older people, can we please let them go? Let them do it to the glory of God. Before I start sharing, I just want to say Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers who have done such a great job in blessing our people. God bless you. Is there a problem with my mic? Are we okay? All right, good. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you so very much for being who you are and for the blessing that you've been to us, to our children, and to everybody. We really appreciate you and we love you. You've heard about our ministry. The Lord called us to this community. It's a very, 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 very poor community. But then the Lord had a very big purpose for this community. And from a church of 15 people, we have seen lives transformed. We have seen a generation of people following after God. And as you've heard from your pastor, many, many, many churches have been planted out of this ministry. And it's all because of what God can do when we step out in faith. The Lord has been very, very good to us. So we thank God so very much for that. We have a ministry where we actually sponsor children. Okay. So we have a ministry that actually helps children to be sponsored, and your pastor is going to be telling you more about the opportunity that you have at the end of the service. But it's a beautiful thing to see lives transformed when we get engaged and we get involved in them. It's always a blessing. Now, for this day, I have a message for us, and I would like to share this message with us. And the message is found in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 1, 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 1. It's a story about a widow, and this widow was a widow of a man who used to serve the Lord, who actually passed away and left the wife with two sons. That's the story. Let me read it for us, and then we will go on from there. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not a few." Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So he went from him. So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not even another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, and pay your debts." I pray that the Lord uses this word to speak to our lives and to encourage us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a very beautiful story, and we can all connect with this story in one way or the other. First of all, the Bible tells us that this was a widow. It's a story of a lady, a widow. She was a mother. She was a single mother, left behind by husband who was a minister who had issues with managing his finances. Isn't that common? So this story relates to all of us here, because many of us are mothers. Happy Mother's Day. This story relates to us because many of us, we know someone who has ever lost a loved one. This story relates to us because some of us have lost our parents. This story relates to us because some of us have got a relative who is in this kind of a situation. It relates to us. But also it relates to us because it's a story where sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we need the help of God and we need the intervention of God. It's a very practical story. But there is some lessons that I would like us to learn this morning, because these are lessons that, as we all know, we need God to speak to us even through Scripture. The Bible says that when she found herself in a problem of debt, she ran to the man of God and said to the man of God, "I need some help. I am stuck. I need help." So the statement I have for us today is this: when you are in trouble, where do you run to? When you find yourself in problems, where do you go? The widow knew where to go. She went to the Lord for help. She sought for a man of God who could talk to God on her behalf, that she will get a solution to her problem. I have found that many of us, when we have trouble, we often do not run to the right source. We run to all kinds of places. In Uganda, when people have a financial problem like this, they run to a money lender who usually is not very fair with them. And that's what her husband used to do. Many of us run to the bank. Or many of us complain. In Africa, even others go to witchcraft. But this woman ran to the man of God. This is a reminder about prayer. It's a reminder about calling unto God. The prophet represented God in this situation. So friends, before you run to anyone for help, it is better to run to the God who actually answers prayers. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 121, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This is my prayer to the church here, that you will realize that many of the things that you are going through, there is an answer, and that answer is in God. Run to God. Now, many times you may say, oh, yes, I made a mistake. A husband made a mistake. But you know what? He's a God who actually understands. He understands that people can make blunders in their life. But he's a God of grace and he's a God of mercy. I also have another statement in relation to this point in this portion of scripture. The Lord uses what you have. When this woman ran to the man of God, the first thing he asked, what can I do for you? And she told him what is going on. So when you go to God in prayer, it's important for you to be direct and tell him what is going on. Don't beat around the bush. Tell him what is going on. But there's also something interesting here. The man of God asks this lady, tell me, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? And she says, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. She looked around and she realized she had nothing but a little oil. That's a very interesting thing. Many times we underestimate the few little things that we have. She thought she had nothing. It is just a little oil. I want us to realize this, that every time you have a need, actually the solution is in your house. The solution is with you. But that's not the way she saw it. She just saw oil is little, oil is like nothing. What lessons do we learn from here? Do you remember Moses? When Moses approached God, who was in a burning bush, do you remember? What do you have, Moses? I have nothing, just a little stick. And God says, no, it's not just a little stick. I'm going to use that stick for the glory of my name. I'm going to use it. I will use it. And that's what God did. He used what was in Moses' hand. Do you remember that little boy who had some few loaves of bread and some fish? We don't have food, but there is a little boy who has some little food. I want you to know this. It's those little things that we have that God multiplies to help us solve the problems that we have. So friends, there are a few lessons we learn from there. God will use what you have to create the miracles that you need. The Lord is going to use the little talents that you have to multiply what he has in your life, what he needs. He will use your skills. He will use your abilities. He will use your training. He will use your legs. He will use your voice. Every one of us has something that God can use. So the key is to find out what is that God can use. Many times God uses your idea. You have seen a few pictures of the ministries that we have had over the years. And many times, many of these ministries came from an idea. You see a problem and you say, what can we do about this? That little idea is what God is going to use to create the things that you are trusting God to do. But there's also something else about this very in this story. He says, what do you have? What Elisha wanted to teach this woman is that I would like you to learn how to trust God and not just be depending on people to trust God for you. I don't know if you get it. Many times we want to be dependent on other people when it comes to standing and walking with God. But what he was saying, I would like you to learn to trust God and to look around. So in other words, Elisha wanted to empower this lady because she had a life to live. She is left. She's a young lady. She has children. She has a life to live. She will not always go to the prophet for anything she needs. She needs to learn to approach God by herself. She needs to look around and say, God, what do you have for me to do? She needed to grow up. Mothers and fathers were here. Don't we need this lesson? Because sometimes we raise children, but we don't teach them to trust God by themselves and to walk with God. So this was a big lesson that Elisha was teaching this wonderful woman. So the question I have to ask us today, what do you have? What gifts has God put in your life? What abilities do you have? What little training or skill do you have? First, for use in the house of God. Second, to help you out there as you start out in life. What do you have? What you have is what God is going to use. Hallelujah. I have another lesson from this portion. The Lord uses people in our lives. So when you go back to this story, there is something else you find. He said, you go, get vessels. Because God is going to multiply that little oil you have. And he says, get out of yourself. Find some people out there. Let them lend you vessels that you may put your oil. The lesson I learned from this statement, from this portion, is this. The Lord uses people in our lives. This is very, very important as we live life, but as we walk as Christians. God has decided to use other people to take us to the next level. The widow did not have to have enough utensils to put her oil. She needed to have as many friends as possible. God has purposed that our lives can only be fulfilled in community. She had a miracle. It's a miracle of provision. God is coming to answer her prayer of need. But she needed the help of other people to realize the miracle that God was planning for her life. Your miracle is directly connected to other people. Your life is directly connected to the relationships that you have with other people. Now, friends, COVID has affected us big time. The last 2 years have been very, very difficult. Because we've been locked in our houses, we couldn't move, and we lost community. We lost relationship because we are not mixing with other people. People have been depressed. People have had some very mental issues because of connecting, because God created us for community. Do you agree with me? He did. Now, many Christians have not learned that. They feel they can do without other people. And I found it back home that when COVID hit, the people who didn't have relationships, people they can call, they had it harder than those who had family or who had friendships and relationships. So friends, now that we are back, it's important for you to realize the importance of community, the importance of hanging out with other people, but also the importance of making friends of other people. So it is time to reconnect. We need others to thrive as Christians. In our church, we have small groups. And in this church, you have small groups. Do not be alone. God has never created us to be islands. He has created us for connection, for family, for relationships. In our church, I tell all our single boys and single girls that, by the way, spouses are not found in islands. You have to get out of your comfort zone. So I tell them, if there is a youth camp, please go. If there is fellowship, go. People need to find you. People need to see you. And many of them, they say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I tell them, you know what? I found my wife at a youth camp. Go attend youth camp. Be an usher. Be part of a prayer meeting. So if you're a young person and you're in this church today, that is one good way of finding your spouse. God is good. What kind of people do we need in life? We need people who will give us connections. They will connect us to other people. Those are the people you need in life. You don't have because you don't have relationship. You need to know. Many of you sell. You're in business. You have to know people. You need mentors in life. People will encourage you in life. You need encouragers. You need prayer partners. You need people who will hold your hand. But also you need people who will challenge your dream. We need people. So friends, do not die alone. You need other people. So the man of God say, go find your neighbors. Ask them to lend you some vessels. Then God will start filling those vessels. So friends, that's how life is. Let me give you another statement. Actually, it's a question. How big is your faith? How big is your faith? And faith comes by obedience. So the Bible tells us in verse 5, so she went from him, shut the door behind herself and her sons, and she poured as they brought vessels to her. There's something very important here about seeing God at work in our lives. I call it action. She went from him. She shut down her door. And she started pouring. Now, it doesn't make sense. It's not rational. You have a little oil. You have all these vessels. But it says, you go, pour. It was an act of obeying what the man of God said. It is not sensible, but the things of God come by obedience. You take a step, and God takes 10 steps. You see it, you see nothing. She was willing to do the simple thing that Elisha had asked her
to do.
Great things begin by being willing to take those simple steps of obeying God. You obey God by acting on what He says. He says, I will bless you when you pray. So you pray. He says He blesses a cheerful giver. So what do? You give. He says, when you seek me, you will find me. You say, okay, it doesn't make sense, but I will pray. The Lord will answer my prayers as I pray. So I always tell people, and I tell myself, sometimes it does not make sense, but I will do what God has told me. I will take that step of faith. So big faith is starting with what God has spoken to your heart. A long time ago, the Lord spoke to our hearts and says, I want you to go to this community called Gaba. I resisted because I didn't like to go to a fishing village. I love fish, but I don't like the smell of fish. I said, God, it was a very, very poor community. And the big business there was to smoke fish over fire so that they will export the fish all around. So whenever I went to this little community, it was smelling too much. And then God speaks to me and says, this is where I want you to go. I resisted it in my heart, but finally I said, Lord, I will go. And that step of faith that we did has resulted in all the things we have seen God doing. Now, friends, all of us here, God has a big plan for you. But He wants you to take that step. Then you will see God at work in your life. Now, so many people wait for the big thing, then they will start. I want to wait for a big miracle. I want to wait for big capital. Every big thing starts with a small step. And that's what this woman did. She poured and poured, and the oil kept coming. The oil kept coming. I pray that you take those steps. I have another statement. And this statement, I'm going to go back to verse 3. Then he said, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not few. Said, you go, when you borrow, don't borrow just a few vessels. I want you to borrow more vessels. Now, look at this woman. In her mind, maybe God can fill these 10 vessels. But God wanted her to fill 20 vessels. So her mind became a problem. So the Bible says she started pouring and poured and poured. And as the things were happening, she got excited. She says, boys, get more. They said, we finished. So the statement I have for us today is, do not limit God. Do not limit God. She was asked to collect many jars, but she stopped early. This is a message for each and every one of us. Many times we underestimate what God can do in our lives. So when we do things, we do small, small, small. When we work a little bit, but not more. But this is what I found in the things that God has called us to do as Christians. The things we do are done not only for ourselves. They are done for us, but also for the others. Yesterday, I had the experience of visiting Dymo. Is it called Dymo? Yes. And I was amazed. So I was asking, hey, Did your father think about how big this is going to be? He said, I don't think he did. But there's one statement, I don't know if you remember. When we are in the afternoon, when we are coming back from this place, he said, my dad was always very happy to see that the little thing he started is taking care of very many families, because people got a job because he took a step and started something. So this is a message to all of you, because many times we may think this only works inside the church. It also works outside there. God calls us to do things, not just for ourselves. So if God has given you a vision, go for it. Because it's not only for you, but it's also for other people out there. When we started out in our little village of Gaba with 15 people, we never knew that this little ministry is going to be a blessing to hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people. Last year, when COVID hit, there was a very, very big problem. Because first of all, we had a flood. And the flood for us, Lake Victoria's waters rose up and covered a very big part of our area. But not only that, people were starving. It was a very, very difficult time for people. So I said, what do we do as a church? We need to act on what is going on. So I remember we called all our church members and we said, guys, if you have extra food, if you have, please send it to church that we may distribute food to the people who are struggling and suffering. So we started doing that. But then the need was so big because people were starving. It was hard. It was difficult. So what I did was to use my iPhone and recorded a little video of what is going on. And I asked people from around the world to pray for us and to support what we are doing. Little by little, people started saying, Peter, we want to support you. We want to support you. What started by a small act of saying we need to help our people, we ended up feeding thousands and thousands of people. Actually, your church sent a generous gift to us to be able to do that. At the end of that lockdown, which was 6 months, we had fed 250,000 people all over the country of Uganda. But that happened because we took a step and we said, we cannot limit God. Let's keep doing what God is calling us. And then God started speaking to people from around the world to come and walk with us as we're doing that amazing journey of serving God's people. So friends, there's a message that I feel is for each and every one of you. I pray that this year you will not limit God in your life. That you don't settle for only do something little. The Lord wants us to be willing to go beyond just enough service, just enough ministry, just enough prayer, just enough doing stuff. May you look at yourself as a channel of God's blessing. And as I was praying for your church, this is what came to my heart, and I wrote it down. I see this church as an oasis in this region. The Lord planted you here, not just for yourselves, not just for this town. You are a source of life. Church, dream big. You will ignite a fire in this region. I see you as a big candle. Many, many small candles will come to be lit by you. As a church, will you see and will you take on that vision? What is God speaking to you as a church? Enlarge the place of your tent, Isaiah says. Let the curtains of your habitation be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, the Bible says. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left.
Your offspring will possess the nations and will people and the people in desolate places. May God use you to be a blessing not only in this community, but in this region, in this province, in this nation, and the nations around. May the good Lord bless you as you rise up and light those little candles, because God is about to do great and mighty things. Praise the Lord. I would like to pray for us, if you don't mind. I'd like you to close your eyes as we pray. Father, we thank you for this widow and the lesson that we pick from her. Lord, I pray that we will be people who are willing to go, not to seek help from other places, but to seek help from you. I pray that, God, we will be people who are willing to be in community. That we will be people that know that we can't do this without other people. That even as a member of this church, that we will not be an island or a hermit, but we will be there and be in community. Lord, I pray that we will take those small steps in following you, in serving you, but also in the things that you've called us to do. Lord, I pray that we'll be willing to stretch ourselves and not limit you, for you're a good God and you're planning great things for us. And Father, I thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor, the elders, and the ministry team, and the calling that you've given them. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you will continually enrich their hearts and their minds to realize that you've called them for a very, very big assignment in this community, in this city, in this nation. That, Father, they will rise up and dream, for you're a great God who wants to use this church to touch not only this nation, but the nations. And Father, for the people who are here who may not know you, Lord, I pray.